Father, we thank you for those words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight we're going to go through the book, just two chapters in the book of Acts, chapter 14 and 16. So I'm going to tell people to get their phones, and we have a map, I'll put that on the video, of Paul's journey. And we're going to start off, this is nice, it's numbered, in five. If you look at, you have put numbers. And five is by Lystra. Everybody see that?
Five is what?
Lystra. There's a number. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can you see the map?
Yep.
You look at the number five.
I'm sorry.
She didn't have her phone on. Okay. That's a good map. But this we can see. So, for everybody here, we're starting off in Galatia, right around Galatia, which is Asia Minor. So, the water up at the top to the left, that is Europe, and to the right is what they call Asia Minor. And if you go right down on the coastline, you can see Nazareth, Syria, Antioch, Syria, and it goes on. So we're going to start with five on Lystra. And this is where Paul is going to be stoned. Lystra. And it's right about Derbe. So we're going to go to Acts 14, verse 8. And we're going to look at the lessons. It's nice to see the journey, but we're going to look at the lessons in our lives that many times the instruction that Yahweh gives us, there's going to be adversity that comes against us, and we think we might have missed it when we didn't miss it at all. And we're going to see it with Paul, or Saul, it was his name. 14, verse 8. And a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, was sitting lame from his mother's womb, who never had walked. This man, hearkening unto Paul as he was speaking, who looking steadfast, you know, this is great, who's looking steadfastly at him. And so there's a communication. And so remember, when we say, I heard from the Lord, or the Lord told me, what we're really talking about, there's not something verbal. It's a communication. And like I had a teacher one time in college said, you cannot not communicate. So communication, you know, you can look at a husband or wife when they're in a fight, there's a communication. And it's not a word. You know, it's facial expressions. And so that's communicating.
Yeah.
And you got the message. And so using the information we're going to receive from our Father through the Holy Ruach, or Christ, is communication and not vocal. It's not audio. It's usually just knowing something. And you go, okay. And so Paul's gonna, he's preaching. He doesn't know this person. He's impotent in his feet. And seeing he had faith to be well, this can happen to us in a grocery store. You can see somebody in a wheelchair or somebody blind or something infirm in, and all of a sudden Yahweh says, you don't even have to touch him. And Paul doesn't touch him. And seeing he had faith to be made well, how does he see his faith to be made well? Said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet erect. What did Paul have to do? Just speak.
Wow.
Just spoke. And he did the impossible. What do you mean, stand up? Don't you look at my feet? I don't have legs. Hmm. Boom. And he sprang up and began to walk about. Wow. I mean, this. And also, this was done, I think, to validate the word that Paul was speaking, that he is sent from Yahweh. Hmm. And when signs and miracles followed him, and so what you're saying, when you can do things like that, then I believe. Because obviously there's no scriptures at that time. You have the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, but you have no new. And then even that was basically, you didn't own it as a book. they talked about it in the temple. Now, after all this good stuff he did, they're going to love him in verse 18.
Oh,
yeah, that's just... Even these things saying, scarcely restrain they the multitude from offering sacrifices unto them. They wanted to treat them as gods. But there came thither from Antioch and from Iconium Jews, and persuading the multitudes, and stoning Paul. Now, think of this. If a person had a nice-sized rock and just hit you with his might, would that leave a mark?
Yeah.
Now, just think of 30 of those. Yeah, you know, coming at you. Think of what your body would feel like. Because you would know everyone that hits you. The impact, the bruise, the trauma. But he stoned him, and so bad was he, they dragged him outside the city, supposing him to be dead. Was he bleeding? Yes. I mean, obviously, when you think you're dead, and usually you do headshots to kill the person.
Yeah.
Howbeit, the disciples surrounding him, right, supplicating, he rose up and entered into the same city, Lystra. And on the morrow, he went to the hospital.
He went forth
to Barnabas under Derbe, which is, as you can see on your chart, 4.
Okay, this is map 4. Is that what you're saying when you're saying?
Yeah. You see 4 is right underneath Lystra. So Derbe.
No.
Lystra, they just look at that. Now we're going to really want to go into chapter 16, but this just shows you what's happening to Paul. Is he's been stoned? Now that's just it. Does he go home? That's it.
I'm done.
It's when somebody yells at us and says, "You're Antichrist. You're a heretic." Okay, I quit. I can't bear this burden anymore.
He called me a name,
and I'm not invited to the parties or anything. This is such a tough life. Now we go to 16, verse 1-3, and he came even unto Derbe and unto Lystra, and lo. Okay, these are all lessons we're going to try to learn. And lo, there was by name Timothy, son of a believing Jewish woman, but whose father was a Greek, who was well attested by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium. The same would Paul have to go forth with him. Why? Because that was communicated to him. This is your right-hand guy at this particular time. And he took and circumcised him. This is chapter 16, and chapter 15, no circumcision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No circumcision. We don't have to get circumcised anymore. All right? Well, there's exceptions to everything. So just remember that, and on our leading, there's exceptions to everything. And in this particular case, he's going to circumcise Timothy after chapter 15. Nobody circumcised. And that was very important on circumcision. I don't even realize that. That was the foundation of Abram covenant. The sign of the covenant was circumcision. That it went through all of the law. If you weren't circumcised, you were cut off. And so you can see how big it is when they start saying no circumcision. Well, you're going against Moses. You're going against Abraham, everything else. But the miracles that they did validated that Yahweh has changed things by raising the dead. You know, Peter raised the dead. And the receiving of the Holy Spirit, all the wonders and signs that even that with the shadow of Peter were healing people. Handkerchiefs were healing people. So Yahweh changed things, but the miracles had to validate that. Otherwise, you're breaking everything on the old covenant. You've got to be circumcised. In this particular case, he didn't circumcise. So in our lives, you've got to realize sometimes there's exceptions. So just be tuned in by the communication.
That's like Christ's healing on the Sabbath.
And then another time in Galatians, he's going to say Titus, and I refuse to have him circumcised. Completely different than with Timothy. But in this particular case, he refused to have Titus circumcised, who's also a Greek. So that's just an illustration as our walk. Now we're going to 6. And they pass through Phygian, which we're going to see at That's number 6 on the map. So everybody see 5GN? We're heading towards Europe. We're in Asia Minor. And so keep following these things. And Galatian country, so they went from 6 to 7. You see 7, the Galatian company? Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit or Yahweh is forbidding them to go that direction. And that's why it turns left. Watch. And Galatian country being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Okay, that was communicated. Don't go right. We're going left. But coming along Mysia, which is 8, they were attempting to journey unto Byzantium, and the Spirit of Yahushua suffered them not. But passing by Mystra, they came unto Taurus, which is 9. And we're still in Asia Minor. And when we cross the water, we're going into Macedonia. And you see that little crease at the water? This is the Mediterranean Sea, and the little inlet that brings into the Mediterranean Sea. The sea on top is the Black Sea. The water at the top is the Black Sea. And it's flowing into Mediterranean. Mammon and I are going to be there. That's Constantinople or Istanbul, right where those waters on both sides of the waters is Istanbul. So half of it's in Europe and half of it's in Asia. Cool. Let's see here. They came into Taurus. They're still in Asia Minor. Now watch this. And a vision by night. So yeah, look, here's another communication. Communications. Yeah, wouldn't it be just nice if a messenger came down and says, okay, here's your itinerary. It's written out, and here's what you're going to do. Would that take faith?
Yep. No.
No. Okay, it's already done.
Yeah.
No, this way, go. Well, which way? Just go. And Abraham, go out in the wilderness. Left, right, just head on.
Just keep going.
Just be going. Okay. Just go. And just day by day by day, turn left, stay here. And they did that in the wilderness all the time. When the cloud lifted up, they left. They followed the cloud. When the cloud sat down, that was Yahweh's presence, they stayed there. Where do you need it? Doesn't matter. Just follow me. And that's the same way with us. And a vision by night unto Paul appeared, a man of Macedonia, and that's across the water, and you're going to see a Philippi at number 12 at the top. Everybody's heard of the book of Philippians. Well, Philippi was named after Philip, King Philip, who was king of Macedonia, who was the father of who?
Alexander
the Great. Who was, we think of Alexander the Great was a Greek. No, he was a Macedonian.
That's cool.
But here's a man of Macedonia there was standing and beseeching him and saying, come over unto Macedonia and bring us succor. And now when the vision he had seen, straightway we sought to go forth unto Macedonia, concluding that Yahweh has summoned us to tell the glad message unto them. So everything must be good. I'm going into Macedonia because the vision told me to go there. So nothing's going to harm me. Well, just watch what happens. All of a sudden, you know, and we think we miss it, and no. Setting sail, therefore, from Taurus, we know what you're going to see, 9. We ran straight into Samothracia, which is 10.
What?
Samothracia, which is 10. That's across the water. Now we're in Europe, right? We're in Europe now. And on the mar unto a new city, and from thence unto where?
Philippi.
So this is going to be very big because this is probably the first time he's in Philippi. And we're going to see a particular time. There's a whole church now later on called the Book of Philippians that he writes to. So you just establish a whole stronghold in Macedonia, which indeed is the first city of the part of Macedonia colony. The first time he's ever there. And we were in this city spending several days. The map's kind of about down there. Yeah, let's stop it there. Certain days, and on the day of rest, we went forth outside the gate beside the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and sitting down, we went on to speak unto the woman who had come together. The women had a certain woman by name Lydia, a seller. You know, this is so neat. Wouldn't it be great if you have your name in this book of an incident? So here's Lydia, who is being immortalized. A seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, devout towards Yahweh, was hearkening, whose heart the Lord fully opened. Now we got to remember that too. So many times when we're speaking to people, their heart can be opened or it can be closed. And so many people we speak to, many pastors I speak to, it's closed in certain areas. You know, but he can still open that up. Fully, the Lord fully opened. In that great fully open, may we always ask our Father and our Lord to fully open my heart. And we know many times that was the uncircumcised heart or stiff neck. And so most people today, especially Christians, the problem they have is being uncircumcised heart or a stiff neck. I'm going this way because I've always gone this way. I'm not turning. If I say there's a Trinity, I know it's not in this book, but there's a Trinity because my father believed it, my pastor believed it, generations have believed it. I don't care if it's not in this book, I'm going that direction. Okay, that's a hard heart. That's an uncircumcised heart. Stiff neck. Then you know about that. Fully open to be giving heed to the things being spoken by Paul. And when she was immersed in her house, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be a believer in the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You know, was that a one-time invitation? No, constrain. Yeah, constraining is, I really want you to be here. Hmm. Okay. Neat language.
Because some people wouldn't want Christ in their own house.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want him in a church.
Not
the
way
she's constraining to be there.
Yeah, not the way that it's actually shown in his book. They want what is being taught in denominations in their house, and so people would be really shocked today. I would imagine probably 98% of the churches, Christian churches, would reject Christ from their church. Just like they reject the high. The high priest rejected Christ. The high priest rejected the apostles and actually wanted to kill him. And they did kill him. That was the church at that particular time. So people think Christ would come into their church. Once he starts saying the truth, you know what you're going to do to him? You're going to kick him out. You have no place here. You can't speak in tongues. You can't interpret. You can't prophesy. That went out with the apostles. So don't tell me I'm supposed to speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, because that's a lie from hell, and you're going to leave this church right now. I don't want you to be seeing that stuff around here, or that faith, you know, faith you can be healed, that there's Yahweh. I don't want that word there. I don't want Yahushua. I don't want that either. Jesus is what it is. And so you're going against everything that we're doing. The Sabbath is Sunday. It's not Friday to 6 o'clock. And so the error upon error, tradition upon tradition upon tradition, has done a great job. And we're going to see here, too, you're doing great things where people could say, wow, let's follow this guy and bring him into our church. But instead, you stone him. And you throw him out of town. So Paul heals somebody in Lystra, and what do they do to him?
Kill him.
For doing something good. What do they do with Christ?
Murder
him for healing people. And she constrained us, 16, and it came to pass as we were on our way into the place of prayer, a certain damsel having a spirit of Python met us, who indeed much gain was presenting unto her masters by divining. The same following after Paul and us kept crying aloud, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who indeed are declaring unto you a way of salvation." And this she continued to do for many days. Why was Paul allowing it? Because it was not communicated to do otherwise. Right?
No.
But Paul, worn out and turning unto the Spirit after many days, and said, "I charge thee in the name of Yahushua Mashiach to come out from her." Guess what? It came out the same hour. Great believing, great victory. This woman's healed. No. And her master, seeing that their hope of gain had gone out, wait a minute here. Yahweh sent us here. Right? He sent us here. This is not supposed to happen. Laying hold on Paul and Silas, dragging them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and leading them forward unto the magistrates, said, "These men are exceedingly troubling our city, they being Jews, and we are and are declaring customs which is not allowable for us," and that's what would happen to us teaching in the church today. Either to accept or to observe being Romans. Here's the big thing. We're going to see Paul and his companion, I forgot if that's Silas, they are Roman citizens. So this is very big. If you're a Roman citizen, you have certain things that cannot be done to you. And Paul was so important that he could appeal, as we saw, to Caesar, because he was a Roman citizen. He was born, he was a free Roman. And he actually went to Roma to be under Caesar, because he was a Roman citizen. Now we're going to see Paul and Silas, I think it's Silas or Barnabas, they're not going to say they're Roman citizens. And they're going to get beaten. So why were they quiet? Why are they quiet? Because that would have stopped the whole beating. Watch. What was the prophet? 22, and the multitudes rose up against them, and the magistrate, rending off them their mantles, were giving orders to beat them with rods, and laying upon them many stripes, they thrust them into prison, charging the prison keepers safely to be keeping them. Where is this happening? Philippi. Who in charge like this, receiving, thrust them into the inner prison, and their feet may be fastened stocks. Wow! Yahweh sent me here.
I'm in prison?
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a vacation. I'm working for the Creator.
I miss something.
And at midnight, and this is great, you're in there and nothing, but at midnight, Paul and Silas, there it is, Silas, being at prayer, began singing praises. Why did they start singing praises at midnight? Because it was communicated to them by Holy Ruach HaKodesh to start singing at midnight. Is it dark at midnight? And is there a prison?
Sleeping.
Yes, is everybody else sleeping? All the prisoners sleeping? I say, "Oh Lord our God, how I stand in the..." Shut up! Shut up!
Well, it says the other prisoners hearkened unto them.
But watch this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, being at prayer, began singing praise unto Yahweh, and the prisoners unto them did hearken. Now watch. And suddenly, a great earthquake took place. Now this got everybody's attention. A validation. These are holy men. I've heard about these guys. They're in prison and they're singing about Yahweh and Yahushua as the Messiah, and all of a sudden an earthquake happens at midnight? And suddenly a great earthquake took place so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And all the doors were instantly set open, and the bonds of all were unfastened.
What a miracle.
Now, is that a miracle? What are the odds? And the prison keep, you know, that, you know, this is the irony. People have so much lack of faith. I've heard pastors teaching when they went around the walls of Jericho, and all the seventh time they all shouted, well, there's a seismic activity their voices can do that can, uh-huh. that, yeah, it was just nonsense That's why the walls fell down, because they all sang it at one
faith.
Time, and it was just like, and that's right here. And 27, and the prison keeper being awakened and seeing that the doors of the prison had been opened. Now it's dark. They don't have light bulbs. Drawing his swords, about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners would have fled. Could Paul see him?
Wow.
No. Could Silas see him? No. Because why? They're in the inner chambers. They're probably the farthest away they are. But Paul called out with a loud... Now, here's why they're in Macedonia. Here's what Yahweh has called and Paul and Silas to come in here. And the only way they're going to reach this man is they got to go to jail. The same way with Joseph. the Jacob's son. The only way he's going to be able to reach Pharaoh is he has to be in jail, because he's going to meet two people Pharaoh knows, and that's the baker and the butcher, right?
Yep.
And he's going to discern their dreams, and they're going to go back and tell Pharaoh about this guy, Joseph. These guys, so Yahweh loved this, and so did Paul and Silas, love this prison keeper so much that they're willing to take this abuse and not say you're Romans. That way it's going to put you in contact with this person and probably the rest of the people in jail.
Yeah.
They'll call loud voice saying, by no means do thyself harm, for we are one and all here. Well, that's supernatural. And asking for a light, he sprang in and becoming agitated fell down unto Paul and Silas and leading them forth outside said, sirs, what must I do be doing that I may be saved? Here's why we're here. And they said, believe in the Lord Yahushua, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of Yahweh with all who were in his house. And taken with him in that hour of the night, he bathed them from their stripes and was immersed, he and his one and all on the spot. So when Paul is writing to the Philippian church, this family is probably reading the letter. You know, 20 years later, 10 years later. And leading him into his house, he sat near a table and exalted, having with all his house believed in God. And exalted means to jump with joy. So you can exalt, E-X-A-L-E-T is to praise. To exalt with a U is to leap.
Like a football game.
Yeah. And his house believed in Yahweh. And when day came, the magistrate sent off the constable, saying, let those men go. And the prisoner keeper reported the words unto Paul, the magistrate having sent that you let go. Now therefore, going forth, be taking your journey in peace. But Paul said to them, now here it is, beating us in public, uncondemned men that are what?
Romans.
Now he brings it up. Now watch what happens. They thrust us into prison, and now by stealth are they thrusting us forth? Nay, verily, let them come themselves and lead us out. And the constables reported unto the magistrate these words, and they were struck with what?
Fear.
Fear, when they had heard that they were what?
Romans.
Guess what? Paul and Silas never told them this. Because of transforming somebody's life. And came and besought them, and leading them out, went on to request them.
Dear sir,
we're really sorry, but man, can you just go someplace else? Said he. And so coming forth from the prison, they went into Lydia, and seeing the brethren, they comforted them and went forth. So what we can do is learn the lessons here, that we can be put into situations that look like I made a mistake. I thought I was supposed to be here, and this stinks. You know, I'm almost dead. Well, Paul was stoned and was dead. Raised from the dead. And so you're looking at that, and we have no idea of the impact when we're in a restaurant and we're contacting people. How is your life? You're giving them cards, giving them scriptures. That the same thing can happen to us as this prison keeper. We've entered into the realm, and so we must know that wherever we go, be deliberate. Like I always said, be I forgot the word.
Intentional.
Being intentional that wherever you are, and that's where I try to wear a cross. I should have done a long time ago. It's showing you that you're a Christian. I want everybody to know I'm a Christian. And can I help you? And so when you go to the waiters or people like that, that's thing you can do many times is to say, how, you know, instead of how are you? Oh, fine, fine. Everybody, fine, fine. It is, how is your life? How is your family? That puts in a whole another realm. And they have to think, well, not very good. Well, can we pray for you? Can we pray for your family? And then Yahweh can also tell you, leave this person a big tip. You know, or you give them a card. You got to make sure you have cards to give them to them where you can help deliver them. But being intentional, like with Paul, you know, went down to the river and Lydia, you know, Lydia, changed her life by hearing about it. And here's a prison keeper changed his life after hearing about it. And the prisoners changed their lives. And when Paul was on the ship in the Mediterranean and he said, don't go forward, there's like 200 prisoners on here. And Paul is telling them we're all going to make it. It changed those guys' lives. How about the centurion, the soldiers on the ship? Changed their lives. He got shipwrecked and put on an island, and he got bit by a viper. Damn. Talking about bad luck. I just survived 2 weeks of a shipwreck, and I get bit by a viper. I'm wet. Yeah, I'm wet. I'm soaking wet. It's cold. And then, and everybody's watching him.
Take place in
baths. Yeah, yeah, we're taking baths. This guy's going to be dead in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. He's like a rattlesnake. Why? He's just, all of a sudden, he's a god. And he, let's, hey, you're a god. Let's go heal our chief. He's sick. And that whole island was never the same after that happened. And it looked like bad, bad, bad. So many times, I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does happen, take it. And if you were walking with the communication and you didn't miss it, take it and realize the ramifications of changing people's lives. And many times you have no idea. And then when we meet Christ, here's a playback video. Let's see Isaiah. Look what you did right here. Look what you did with this person. You saw him once. You said this to him. Bingo. Because that was the words I wanted you to give him. And from there on, they went this direction. Because you said these words. Wow, I had no idea. I think I was a failure because there's nobody here. All right? And no. Okay. Let's hear from our Heavenly Father again and be obedient, as everybody who watches this, to 1 Corinthians 14. It's real simple. You know, you can ask your pastor or any minister, are you obeying 1 Corinthians 14? And that is, I want you to speak in tongues, interpret, and prophesy that the church may receive edification. No. What other chapters of Corinthians are you not believing or doing? Well, we're doing them all. Then why would you take one chapter and tear it out of your Bible? Well, we didn't tear it out of the Bible. It's right there. It's even worse because it's right there in your Bibles and you refuse to do it. That's even worse.
Yeah.
Well, they say it went out with the apostles. They say it went out. What does this book say? This book says, I would you all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy, that the church may receive edifying. Do you have Holy Spirit? Well, yes, I do. Then manifest it. You've been told a lie. Do the word. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. As you have told us, be speaking my words of life and put my words of life into your heart. You must meditate upon these and you must ruminate like a cow does over and over and over again, that they will sink in and you can regurgitate those into people's lives that they can be ministered, because they are words of life. These words of life do not come forth unless you issue them forth. So ingest those words from my word and then regurgitate that to all the people around you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.